Another thing that occurred back after my father died, my mother remarried after a couple of years to an individual by the name of Irvin Wolf. Now, Irvin was very close with Jack Zink. They had partnered a car at Indy before together. Irvin had a car on his own at Indianapolis and was very involved in racing. Right after I had come back and my father had passed away, Irvin and Jack presented the Indianapolis 500 closed circuit telecast to Tulsa. Now, right now we have it on television, but in those days they didn't think they could sell it on television. So the only way you could see it, boxing matches too, was to do closed circuit events in a large hall. So Irvin and Jack Zink presented the Indianapolis 500 closed circuit television. So my mother got to know Irvin Wolf through that, and Irvin had just lost his wife, and at a certain point nervously asked my mother if she would go out. They did, and eventually got married. And at that particular time, Dick Colvin, who had the stock car racing at the Tulsa Fairgrounds, was giving the stock car racing program up and sold it to my mother and Irvin Wolf. So from 1967 until the early 70s, we were involved in promoting the stock car racing at the fairgrounds. When Irvin died in 69 of a sudden heart attack, he'd had heart trouble. My mother and I continued running the racing up into the mid to late 70s. So we had a lot going on in those particular days. I was working Saturday nights at the races and didn't know anything about cars in those days, but I did know how to promote the event and do giveaways. And Dan Bell at KRMG was our announcer. He was the announcer for the Tulsa Speedway in those days. That's how I got to know Dan Bell at KRMG.
You had fun, didn't you? Huh?
I mean, I really did, John. You know, I think when I look back, I don't think I had as much fun as was imagined, because it was all just business. It was all business. And I was always very involved in making sure that things went right and making my notes. I can remember being at the office at 7 and coming home at 8 or 9 at night for many, many years. It was all a business. So I think I missed out on a lot of the fun if my personality was such that I would do it.
Were there acts where you just lost money?
Oh, sure. We eventually got into the phase of not promoting and doing promotions for other people because of the large risk that was involved. Plus, in order to make money on events, you had to have the top-notch talent. In order to get the top-notch talent, you had to go to the agencies, which firms like Concert West were able to do, plunk down millions of dollars, and instead of buying an attraction for one city, which we used to do for Tulsa, Oklahoma, they would buy entire tours. They would plunk this money down, they would sign a contract for X number of cities, and then those firms would get in touch with us to help and assist them for a fee. So we really got out of the risk business. And to be frank, we couldn't have afforded what these large firms did anyway.
Back in the 60s, were there stores in town that were sponsors or helped in any way that you could name?
Sure. We used a lot of stores. We had two different areas involving commercial enterprises. Number one, on almost every event that we were involved in, we always involved a media sponsorship. Usually it was a radio station, sometimes television, but they weren't as attuned and didn't have the freedom on air that radio did. So we would always use a media sponsor, and we also would use commercial sponsors like Pepsi-Cola was very big when Phil Hughes was head of Pepsi here in town. We used to use Pepsi-Cola to help sponsor. And we would use the media and a commercial enterprise, if they were buying advertising anyway, to tag their commercials or whatever to help push the event, and it saved us money out of our budget. Then we also involved commercial enterprises here in town for sales of our tickets. Before we were computerized, we used to handle what they called hard tickets, and we would take several stacks of tickets scattered around the arena to a particular outlet. We used Frug's here in town. It was the largest department store chain. We used a grocery store chain at one point. we usually outlasted the chain. They would either sell, go under, whatever. We used a food chain called McCartney's Supermarkets years ago. My gosh, we have used, I'm sure, at least a half dozen different commercial enterprises to sell our tickets over the years.
It's hard for you to believe what you did back then, to know that now somebody can print off a ticket in their house.
It's amazing. Isn't it amazing? One of my very key employees is handling the box office for the BOK Center. And she was telling me the latest thing is that now you can actually put your barcode on your cell phone. And they will scan the barcode on your screen as you enter the building. You go in without a ticket. But if you do want a ticket, when you get inside, they can scan there. They have individuals and on their hip have a miniature printer. And if you would prefer to have a paper ticket, they can scan your phone, push a button, and out from this little machine on your hip comes a piece of paper with your seat location on it. That's how far it's gone.
Little did your grandfather, your father, or even you know. That's great. How much money do you think you paid acts to come? I don't know how far back you can remember, or even during your tenure as the head of Carson Attraction.
Millions of dollars over the years.
But do you know, like, an Elvis Presley?
Well, I know that when Elvis came in, I think the top price back in the 70s, I don't know if it was much above $20 for a top price.
For a ticket?
Uh-huh, for a ticket. Of course, if you had 10,000, you know, if you had a couple of $100,000 for a performance and you pay your local expenses out, they walked away and they were very happy. $100,000 for an act would have been wonderful for them to receive back in the 70s, even as big as Elvis Presley is.
So he'd walk away with $100,000.
Right, because really it was their own show. They used Concerts West to put together the details. Concerts West would get in touch with us locally. But actually, the bulk of the funds would go to the act. And many acts did that. Many acts, rather than sell themselves for a fee, would actually promote themselves and retain people to take care of details.
How big a staff did you have at one time?
Oh, our W-2s would probably go into the 20s, 20 to 25 people. But all of them were, we had a permanent staff of about 7. They were there day in, day out to help us. Also, in the late 70s, we opened offices in Oklahoma City. They had a ticket agency over there that handled all the shows. Had some trouble. There were some funds missing or whatever. And Concerts West called us because they did a lot of shows in Oklahoma City at the Myriad then and begged and pleaded for us to go over there and open up a ticket agency. This would have been like in 1976. I really didn't know if we could handle it. But we went ahead and said we would because they had Neil Diamond coming in. And they needed someone to sell their tickets. That was a lot of money. Neil Diamond was one of the biggest acts that they promoted at the time, especially since Elvis had passed away. So we went over there and went into a partnership with Johnny Bench, the Cincinnati Reds catcher. And he had a minor interest because they wanted to get their name out in the Oklahoma City area because he was getting ready to retire. So we had Bench Carson Attractions in Oklahoma City for about 8 years. Until the bid for the ticketing went out and we lost the bid. So we came back to Tulsa and pulled our horns in.
Was Johnny close to the business at all or just used his name?
Name only. The manager of the Lloyd Noble Center was a good friend of Bench and his manager. He was one of the people along with Concerts West that called and said, "You really need to come over here, Dick. They've got a problem with Oklahoma City events. I handle my own at Lloyd Noble." But he said, "I'll tell you what. If you do come over, would want to involve Bench. He'd like to get his name out. He's got a bank here in Oklahoma in a small town, Wilson, Oklahoma, and he's trying to get some business interest." And he said, "If you don't mind, if you could involve them." So we did involve them. In fact, for the hyphen between Bench and Carson, I came up with a logo to use a small baseball in between. So, no, he never was involved. We got together with him in a couple of faraway cities, just on a social event, but that was all.